Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Apex 89. Another stone on the path to UFC Apex 100. This time it'll be Rose Namajunas taking on Amanda Ribas in the main event. Jed, how we doing, man? Another week, another Apex card. Feels good, man. Blood's pumping.
I mean, who isn't excited about this? Just another
one. You want
me
to answer that honestly? Or
you know, I think everyone, there are no redeeming features to this Saturday's card. We're going to shoot you straight here, folks.
Let's shoot straight. I mean, even last week's card, we were about halfway through it. I was like, phew, man, this card kind of sucks. And yeah, we're back with another week for it.
This fight card is substantially worse than last week's, and it happens at starting at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That is the worst part about it. You're telling me I'm going to be watching Carl Williams and Justin Toffa in a co-main event at like 12:30 Eastern in the Apex?
No. Connor, the worst part is I'm working this. Last week I was not. I have fortunately not worked most of the Apex cards this week, so I haven't watched them live. I maybe have turned them on or had them on in the background. Like last week I saw a lot of the stuff, but I checked back up on the rest of it after the fact. Not this time, baby. I'm right until 3 a.m. or whatever ungodly hour.
I'm going to be really upfront with you, and everybody listening. This is 1,000%. This isn't even making a TV. This might not even make the iPad on the coffee table. This might just be my phone on the armrest type deal here. We're getting the first weekend of March Madness. There is no way that this is taking up any real estate on a television. This is going to be side eye watching. When a fight comes on that I have a bet on, then I'll really lock in. But this will be real casual watching for me.
Fortunately, Connor, if you, like our millions of listeners at home, feel this way, which I'm sure everyone kind of does, you don't have to watch it. You can go to this website. It's a terrific website. It's called MMAfighting.com. We're going to have all the important highlights up. We're going to have a live blog of the main event. You're going to get to see all the relevant things that happen. And you can ingest that on your timeline instead of on the UFC, on ESPN Plus's timeline. So I say this a lot lately, particularly with these Apex cards. If you got nothing else to do, hey, fights are fights, man. I totally get it. I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. But if you got a significant other who's complaining, you spend every Saturday with the fellas watching fights, maybe take this one off.
Yeah,
have a little family time this Saturday.
Listen, man, fights are fights. I love watching fights. Love betting on fights. That's why we're here. If you're still listening to this, you're looking to talk fights, to bet on fights. We understand the game here. It's just the quality of the card and the fact you parlay that with it being at the Apex. I had someone on Twitter approach me last week when I was like, I took a shot at the Apex, and they were like, why are you complaining? Like, we now get fights almost every weekend because of the Apex. And I just had to drop a little knowledge on them. The UFC is doing the exact same number of events with the exact same number of yearly fights as they were in 2019 before the Apex was ever built. Like, it's the Apex is not letting them achieve this number of fights. They would be doing it anyway, but they would just be doing it in arenas and likely have better quality of cards as well.
Yeah, it's a cost-controlled achieving this number of fights. And I got to tell you, man, if you like that fella, congratulations. Welcome to MMA. I'm glad to have you. We always love to see the numbers grow.
UFC is saving money.
There are fights every week, buddy. No. There are fights every week of the year except for maybe Christmas. Like, but, I mean, if you go to MMAfighting.com, every Friday morning, the wonderful Alexander K. Lee has basically a roundup of the coolest regional highlights. Those highlights come from places, and those places you can watch them. Go hit up Capos on Twitter. He always has a schedule. There are always fights on. The question is not, are there fights? The question is, are there good fights? And this weekend, we're not. Though, Connor, being real negative, let's be a little positive.
Yeah,
here,
a lot
Connor.
Of negativity. We're just negativity dumping right now.
Look, I mean, this, you know what
we're,
they
we're
say?
We're paying the price for school. 98, 99, and 300. We're paying the price right now, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, again, I'm fine with it. We talked about this last week. But on a totally unrelated note and a bit of a positive manner, we got a double action of fights this weekend. We got Friday fights at Bellator.
HBO
and
Max.
Fights are on HBO, baby.
That's well, they're technically on Max. They are technically
same,
on Max.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I got a couple things I want to throw out to you about Bellator Belfast. Because there are a couple interesting spots. There's a couple things I want to throw out to you this week. This is more of a discussion as rather it is just a holistic dumping of bets here.
Okay. I'm excited to hear it. I have one thing I want to throw out, and it's just this. Bellator Belfast is straight up a better card than the UFC is offering.
Man. All right. So I'm excited for Kennedy and Pitbull. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to the Aaron Jeffrey fight against Fabian Edwards. Mm-hmm. The Luke Trainer Grant Neal fight is great as well.
More decent fight on the card.
What are we looking at? James Gallagher.
Gallagher
Ego's
pretty solid little scrap.
Yeah, not bad.
That's four good fights, which is one more than I count on the UFC's fight card.
It does have the classic Bellator quality. You're getting a 2-2 versus a 2-3, a 3-0 versus a 3-0.
Oh yeah, you know they've got to beef up the Irish numbers for the Belfast, and I get it. Also, I mean, looks like at least at this point in time, fewer fights than the UFC card as well. Like, just it's on HBO Max. That'll be fun. Never watched.
I think it's at noon Eastern.
Noon. I mean, that would make sense being in Belfast.
Noon Eastern, baby.
A lot of powerful things happening for old Belly on Friday. So I do have a couple of bets on that card as well. So we can get that to that at the end. But enough negativity, Connor, because also when we're negative, it allows us to go longer. And you and I don't want to be here forever talking about this 100%. Fight card because no one wants to hear us talking about this fight card for an hour and a half.
I got places to be. I got people to see. I'll tell you that much. Big things going on. Let's start UFC Apex 89. Let's start with the main event. And it's a women's flyweight bout. Amanda Hillis taking on Rose Namajunas.
We do have to cover. How'd you do last week? Because
I lost again. I mean,
that's not won since Mexico City.
I have not won since Mexico City. Yes. Last week I was like watching it as Christian Rodriguez and Isaac Dolgarian just put a stake through my heart of going to a decision. Meanwhile, recording 2 10-8s, both of them being very close to getting finishes. And I was just like, I can't stand betting on these Apex cards. And then the Brian Battle stuff, he was looking so great. Then the eye poke. I mean, it was just meh. I wasn't feeling great going into it, and I ended up losing.
Yeah, it was a tough week as well. I brought that up for two reasons. One, because I as well lost. And I noticed on the MMA Hour, you're down 8 and a little bit of change. You and I are in a race to the bottom, baby. I am down 8 units and a little bit of change for the year.
I love it. We're on an even playing field.
We're doing great. Proud of us.
I'm all right with it. As I said to you, This is a game with a lot of variance in it.
Yeah.
It's losing streaks are guaranteed. I was on a bad one last year. Bad one. So I am confident that the ship will right itself. I mean, I've been doing this now since September of 2021. So we're coming up on, you know, 2.5, 3 years of this. I feel all right. I don't know if the ship's going to get righted this weekend. This is definitely, if I am not on a show where we talk about betting and I didn't host a podcast about MMA betting, this is definitely a card that I would look at and be like, they might just sit this one out.
That's the second reason I brought it up, as we were talking about it yesterday. I was like, I'm not going to have any bets. I'm just getting burned on these Apex cards. I got to try and want to get back into the black, need to do it. And somehow I've ended up with 10 bets this weekend.
10 bets.
It's with Bellator as well. But yes, 10 bets this weekend.
I am sitting on 5 with the potential to add one more.
Yeah, because you're smarter than I am. You're going to dig yourself out of this hole much faster than I am.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it, because there are a couple of things I want to talk about. Main event, Amanda Rivas, Rose Namajunas. Right now, currently, this fight is lined as Rose Namajunas, a massive favorite, minus 245. Rivas coming back, plus 200. Yesterday, I saw Rose Namajunas get as big of a favorite as minus 300. That's obviously come back in. When I was writing my notes doing the research, I asked, is minus 210 too wide? Now minus 245. Two questions to pose to you. Is minus 245 too wide? Is minus 180 fight does not go to a decision too wide?
Ooh, the fight does not go to a decision is interesting. I don't think the minus 210 is too wide. Excuse me? I like Amanda Rivas very much as a fighter. She's obviously a very fun fighter. And you can never feel all the way confident with Rose Namajunas, right? Like, there are times when she'll show up like she did against Carla Esparza, and, you know, that gets baked into the price. That being said, I know that her flyweight debut was not what many hoped, you know, many anticipated, thought instant title contender. I still think that she is a very quality fighter. And I think we are getting a reduced price because of sort of the uncertainty around her. When Amanda Rivas has pretty consistently just lost to the best fighters she's faced, right? You know, like, she's, when she goes into the A-minus, B-plus tier of fighters, the Macy Barber, Caitlin Chookagians, Marine Rodriguez, like, they just beat her, and she is a really good litmus test as far as that. Maybe Rose isn't that, you know, I guess it's possible that at flyweight that's not where Rose is, but Rose also had a very competitive fight with Manon Fior, who I know your girl, obviously a big Manon. I think we were both. I was on Manon. I feel like you were on Manon as well.
Oh, I definitely was on Manon.
But a super competitive fight in her debut, and Manon's about to fight next week in a title eliminator. So I don't think losing a competitive fight to someone much bigger than her is that big a deal. And the other side of this as well, Rivas is not going to be much bigger than her too. You know, Rivas also is a former strawweight, you know, has bounced around a little bit. I just think the disadvantages Rose had heading into the fight against Manon aren't there at all. She'll be a little more acclimated. I'm expecting us to get quality Thug Rose, and also Thug Rose's best nickname on the card, rocking Thug Rose in the main event. I have her, last week I had Thiago Moises in an open parlay. I closed it out with Rose this week on the other side of it.
When you say open parlay, like, are you on your book, are you able to like bet Thiago Moises as a parlay piece and then the next week add Rose in?
Yeah, you can add in. You have to pick how many spots you're going to do it. So my book will allow you to go one and then two or three additional open. Like, you can have one, two, or three additional open spots to fill in later. So I just did an open one and left it till this week, and I just plugged in Rose. I got her at bad price, you know, but closed it out. If Rose wins, I'll be paying out. Minus 130 is the total end of the parlay, basically.
That's an interesting tool. I've never been able to have that in any of my books. I don't know. I mean, I know Rose hurt her hand in the first round, and I know she was competitive with Fiorot, but -245. I just don't think I'm going to get around to that. Another line that's very interesting to me here, Rose by KO +110. One finish in the last 7 years for her.
True. Hivas, like all of her losses are by knockout, I want to say.
Yeah, I think 3 of 4.
So I guess, except for Chukagian, but it's Chukagian. That's death taxes. Chukagian by decision, baby. That's how that rocks. I don't hate the inside the distance, though. Like, when you brought that up earlier, I can see it, particularly 5 rounds. There's a lot more opportunity. Hibas is not the most defensively sound fighter on the feet. I do think if Rose is winning this fight, I do think it's largely just a striking affair. She has a more diverse striking skill set. Just better technically. I don't know. I don't know if I want to. I'm trying to get away from prop bets just in general. Like, a couple of them, we'll talk about in the co-main event. I've just been getting burned so bad on them this year of like, I think that this will go. And it's not like I could just take the worst, the worst line and straight up options, and I'd be doing a lot better this year. So I don't know how I feel about taking that prop.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Props are actually my worst bets over the last year and some change. Down 9.82 units on props. You want to know what my best is?
Parlays.
Parlays, I'm up 26 units.
I mean,
it's actually hilarious.
We need you to go back and in the spreadsheet, figure out how many of those were the Seaburk special parlays, the over 1.5 parlays, because those feel like they hit at an 88% clip rate,
Man, you want to know what's funny? I was actually killing the prop market up until Bellator 300. And since then, I have just been on a steady decline on the props. They have just been costing me money.
Maybe UFC 300 gets you back on track, though. You just had this, it's a reverse Uno card.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, straights, I'm just a little bit above even. Very interesting, though. Very interesting. I guess I'm with you. I need to get away from props. One that stuck out to me was Hivas by decision at +600. That felt just largely priced. I don't know if I'm going to play it, but that did just feel like an interesting number to me. Like, that's a big number for, like, she's not like the craziest finisher, and Rose is pretty durable. Right now, what I have is the over 1.5 -350. 7 of Hibas' last 9, Rose 10 of her last 13. I feel this goes over the 1.5. And then the fight goes to a decision +150. You get in a women's flyweight fight. Rose has their ability.
Are you coming around?
Yeah, I think fight goes to a decision is what I'll play here. And just leave it at that.
Hey, look, that's a reasonable way. Also, just for the sake of it, I went back, looked at this year. I am a robust 1-9 on prop bets.
Wow, holy shit, that's
two
bad.
Touche Gamrot by decision is the only one of them that has landed.
Over the last year and a half, I am 112 and 125. Man, my parlay record is 71 and 52. I am like shockingly... I am surprised by that.
Parlay more?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm moving entirely away from props unless it's something like Matush Gamrot by decision, because wow. I have been getting burned. Jack Della by decision, burned. It's like a bunch of Dan Ige by decision, knocks him out in 4 seconds. It's
okay, you're talking like method props.
Yeah, method props, not over-unders. I'm doing okay on over-unders.
All right. I think that's enough said on the main event.
I mean, we don't have much else to talk about this card, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, my official pick is going to be Hivas by decision. That's my pick.
If that's your official pick, you should definitely throw at least a quarter unit on +600. That's what's
getting me to make that official pick is that it's +600.
That's true.
Like Rose by KO +110, Hivas by decision +600. I don't know.
My official pick will be Rose by KO, but I will not be betting that. I'll just put Rose in the parlay, close her down. Let's stay away from method of victory parlays or
by
props.
KO too,
those
like,
are killing
there,
me.
There is a world where she gets a submission. Like, it wouldn't be that
could happen.
Out of the blue.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right. Next up, co-main event.
Oh, what our a co-main. Man,
fighting out of Atlanta. Carl Williams taking on Justin Taffa, the Taffa swap. Justin steps in for Junior after Junior stepped in for Justin. It is a whole ordeal. And right now you can get our man from the A fighting out of the A, Carl Williams minus 180, Justin Taffa plus 150. To me, this is just about as binary as it gets. I feel like this is Taffa knocking him out early, or Carl Williams just making it a slog fest and pushing this thing late. Taffa has stuffed all three takedowns attempted on him over the course of his illustrious UFC career. Gonna assume there's gonna be more than three takedowns attempted unless Carl just gets iced. And that's that. That's pretty much it. No bet for me here.
I'm on Carl Williams. I mean, one, repping the A, my old gym. Gotta do it. Two, I actually, even outside of that, I would like this bet in general. The thing I struggled with in the co-main was Carl Williams straight and minus 175 is the price I got him at. That is what I ended up taking, but I looked long and hard and I had it punched in and I just didn't click enter, instead on doing Carl Williams by decision. It's like plus 200. So you're getting a little
right
bit
back to the props. Love it.
That's why I didn't do it though. Cause you're getting a little bit extra. And you know, six of Williams's nine career wins have been by decision. I think he is going to get a bunch of takedowns on whichever Taffa this is. Yeah, he's 100% takedown defense. It's three shots from all bad fighters. Carl Williams much better at doing this. Maybe gas is late, and that's a problem, but I think this fight will go Carl Williams' way. And Taffa has been real tough, but I'm just so terrified of the method of victory props that instead of getting the plus 200, I'll just take, you know, my $60 on a minus 175 and bet that. So I'm on Carl.
There it is. Carl
Williams. Got to rep the A.
We roll on Edmund Shahbazyan taking on AJ Dobson. Right now you can get Shahbazyan minus 192. Dobson coming back at plus 160. Feels like a step down for Edmund. But I don't know, minus 200. He's lost 4 of 5. He also has been known to gas out. I feel like if I'm making a pick, it's going to be Edmund by KO, but AJ Dobson's never been finished. This is just another fight that I'm just staying away from.
Yep. If I'm making a pick like you, I would pick Shahbazyan, but he's just in that zone, man. I'm never going to put money on him. Like we talked about last week with Kenny Nunchucks and people being like, ooh, Kenny Nzechukwu in a parlay. I don't know what you people are talking about. I am not trying to put that man in a parlay and then the minus 500 gets blown up.
Yeah.
That's Shahbazyan to me to a T. I'm just not going to bet on him even though I think he's going to win a fight.
Yeah, man. I mean, a lot of this apex betting is just like avoiding non-quality fighters.
Yeah, just avoid the traps.
That's tough to do sometimes. All right, we keep it rolling. I mean, this is the hotly debated, hotly discussed MMA Twitter fight of the week. Peyton Talbot taking on Cameron.
One of the three Simon. Good fights in the card.
I'm looking forward to this one. It's going to be good. Two good prospects. Minus 148 Talbot. Simon coming back at plus 124. Yeah, like should be a good scrap. Both these guys are fairly high volume. If I'm Cameron Simon, I go back and watch the Aguirre fight and definitely realize that I should lean on my wrestling. I mean, Talbot was taken down and controlled pretty much the entire round. So I feel like if Simon goes to the offensive wrestling, he can have success. In terms of a side, I don't really know who to be confident on here.
Yeah, I agree that would be the path forward for Simon, but Talbot's one of my boys. He was one of my one of my prospects to watch from the most recent season. I've been backing them up and down. They have been delivering. Who was it last week? I can't even remember who was all on that fucking dog shit card last week. Give me a second while I pull this up. Remember who pulled? Oh, Danny Silva. It was Danny Silva. Came through as an underdog last week. He's one of my boys to watch. Got a few contender series dudes. Talbot was one of the best prospects on this most recent season. I like Simon. I think this fight's going to be a good little scrap, but I'm backing my boy.
All right. Yeah, I am going with the over 1.5, parlaying that with the Nama Yunus one. Simon, 5 of the last 6. Talbot, 6 of 7 in his career. So, yeah, I feel like this one goes a little bit longer. All right, next up. Speaking of MMA Twitter, Billy Q, the squid, getting in there against Yusuf Zalal. Right now, Billy Quarantillo, your favorite, coming in, minus 148. Zalal, plus 124. So Zalal stepping in on short notice. I feel like this is a decent matchup for Billy Q. Volume, pressure, pace. I think he can even mix in takedowns. I feel like he just gets this done by decision. He just outpoints Zalal. I mean, Zalal does not throw a ton. He has no finishes in 7 UFC fights. I mean, yeah, I know that he's on like a winning streak right now. One of those was he did a MMA fight, a boxing and a kickboxing match all in one night. He's definitely not fighting the level of competition that he was in the UFC. Did not have a good end to his UFC run. I like this matchup for Billy Q.
So do I. And given the kind of the nature of it, the short notice nature, I'm a little surprised to Q's this low. He's just, particularly because he's popular too, not even outside of his thing, like just a really popular dude. Hell of a fun fighter. I think the style matchup is pretty decent. Like you said, Zalal did not have the greatest UFC run. Now, I fought some dudes in there. You know, he fought Ilia Topuria. But, you know, the win streak he's on right now, not as impressive. Billy Q, I mean, like I said earlier in the evening, Billy Q's losing the top shelf opposition. You know, he's losing to Edson Barbosa, Shane Burgos. He's not losing to dudes like you. Yusuf Zalal. So I'm on Billy Q.
I am as well. Let's keep it rolling. Luis Pajelo going up against Fernando Padilla. Right now, Luis, your underdog at plus 140. Padilla coming back minus 166. I mean, this should be a pretty good fight too. I mean, this thing should be fun. Luis Pajelo is fairly wild, almost only wins by knockout, comes forward, throws big shots.
Super aggressive.
Yeah, Padilla, I mean, he's got a reach advantage, probably the more technically sound guy, but he's got a solid chin, never been knocked out. So yeah, I feel like it's a fun fight. I will not have a bet on it.
Pajelo was not one of my like top tier prospects to watch, but he's a guy who I think can get into UFC, make some noise, and more importantly, just be a super fun action fighter. The way he goes about his business is chaos. And I'm excited to see him fight. So I decided to throw, back when I didn't realize I was going to end up with 10 bets, I was like, I want to try and get this number up to something. I'll throw one on a dude I kind of like. And then I ended up with another 4 bets after that. And I was like, oh, well, suddenly I have 10. So I would not recommend anyone follow, but I'm on Pajelo.
All right, let's move to the prelims. Trey Ogden taking on Kurt Holaba. Right now, Trey Ogden is your favorite at minus 155, Holiba coming back at plus 130. This is one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. I was doing some research, and I was on Miles John's Instagram, and I came across a picture. It appears that Miles John's and Trey Ogden trained together, multiple pictures posted together. So I wanted to throw out there two paths, the red pill, the blue pill. You take your pick on which one you want to do, you know. I won't give you the whole Morpheus speech, but option A is the anti-tough parlay. Trey Ogden taking on Kurt Holiba, obviously, from this past season of Tough. Miles Johns taking on Cody Gibson, a finalist in this past season of Tough. Or you take option B, the tough dogs parlay, or you just take them as straights because they are dogs. But you've got two great contestants from this past season of Tough representing, both at underdog price, both right around plus 130.
I'm ashamed of myself that I didn't see this gimmick out there.
I mean, it was staring me right in the face. I got a gimmick for you on that Bellator card. If you haven't seen it yet, it's staring us right in the face.
Oh, this one missed. I didn't, you know, I'm not a big Tough guy. Despite, you know, co-hosting Tough Hang for one episode, I might have watched Kurt Holiba.
Kurt Holiba's great, man. Kurt Holiba's great.
I might have watched his episode for the one thing, and I just missed this. If you're going to do it, I would say you got to go with not the underdog parlay. If you want to do them separately, that may be one thing, but I mostly just didn't want any part of either of those fights, and now I'm having to reckon with myself. Do I just live a gimmick despite my notes on both fights being like, nope, just nope.
I actually don't mind either of them as dogs. I kind of like the matchups, and I like the way that they fight. I mean, Kurt Holiba just comes in like a madman. He has not won a fight by decision since 2015. Like, he like exclusively finished all of his fights on Tough and the season finale. Ogden really doesn't have much finishing capability. Yeah, he has a lot of subs, but I don't think he's going to sub Kurt, who's a BJJ black belt, whereas Ogden has been subbed three times. I wouldn't be surprised if Holiba subbed him here. Gotten gillied twice. And then Cody Gibson, kind of the same thing. Miles John's coming in on short notice. He's never really had great cardio. We've seen him get broken in fights, especially that Castaneda one. And Cody Gibson is sort of the style of fighter that will do that to you. Just unrelenting pace, just always coming forward, makes it a war. Plus, on top of that, he's getting older. He took to Twitter this week and was like, I see y'all bitching about the Apex cards. I'm going to turn it up in my fight. I can guarantee you that. He's likely only got a couple more shots at this thing. Like, he's 1-4 in his UFC career right now. Feel like he's going to be going for it all this weekend. He's looking for that 50 G's. He's looking for that performance of the night. He's looking to reassure that contract, get a finish. I think I'm riding with the tough dogs, man. I think I'm riding with them.
You talked me into this as a gimmick parlay, and I hate you.
I think I'm riding with the tough dogs.
Are you going to parlay them, or are you just going to run them straight?
I'm going to parlay them. Tough dogs parlay. Tough dogs life.
I'm in on this dumb gimmick parlay.
You only need to win one if you took them as singles, and you'd be easy breezy.
Now you
got to
win both, but the payout. We don't want that. The payout, we don't want that. It's exponential, Connor.
We're tough dogs, okay? We want the hard way. We want to parlay it. And these guys can become heroes. It's as plain and simple as that. They can become heroes in my book if they get it done. All right. That was my spiel. Now you know where I'm at.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Been practicing that in the mirror for a while.
Now I have 11 bets on 12 fights. I hate you.
Let's go. All right. Next up, Ricardo Ramos taking on Julian Arosa. Right now, Ramos, your favorite, sitting at minus 184. Julian Arosa coming back at plus 142. I don't have a side here, but I do have the under because it is a Julian Arosa fight. Ramos, 5 of his last 7 have ended in round 1. Arosa has been KO'd in the first round in three straight losses. In his last three losses, he's had some wins mixed in. And Arosa overall, 17 of his last 22, have not gone the distance. Think this one's going to be fireworks. Think it probably gets done early. Under 2.5, minus 155.
I'm on Arosa here. I'm not entirely sure why this isn't just a pick 'em fight. It's not like Ricardo Ramos has been this just unmitigated world beater or whatever. And most importantly, Connor, here's the thing you got to remember about Ricardo Ramos. Not only did he lose to Charles Jourdain, he did it in the first round. He didn't even lose to him in the third round. Whereas Julian Arosa, not only did he beat Charles Jourdain,
wow,
he beat him in the third round.
Wow, at his
he
own game.
The mythical third round Jourdain. Ricardo Ramos couldn't even get into the third round to lose there. He
beat
lost
him
immediately. I also just like Arosa's volume, like the pace he puts out immediately. He is a get or get car guy. And I think he's got a pretty good chance here. Like I said, I think at worst this fight's a coin flip. And so I just took a little dog play on Arosa.
Love it. We move on to that Miles John, Cody Gibson fight that I was talking about. Miles John's your favorite. Yeah, I'm going with Cody Gibson.
So am I now.
Don't mind the stab at the under either. Plus 190 on the under 2.5. Yeah, I mean, I think both guys are live for a finish pretty much anywhere this fight goes. If it goes to a decision, I will not be shocked. Miles Johns maybe back on the sauce, bring up a little bit more of that power. You know, USADA's gone, who knows? But I feel like it's going to be pedal to the metal for Cody Gibson this week. I think he knows the game plan.
I forget who posted it, but like a reputable dude put out the numbers and was like, USADA for the last things, 2,000 tests, and tests since is like 400. And the UFC is just doing exactly the correct thing of this is fake. We're not drug testing anymore. It's fine. And you just made me think of that. And I hope that that's true. I hope everyone's on the sauce, Connor.
Me too.
Let's get some superheroes out there, you know?
Yeah. That's that. Let's move on. Steven Nyan taking on Jarno Ahrens. Right now, Ahrens, your underdog at plus 164. Big Steven N, minus 198. I've got nothing here. Don't hate Jarno Ahrens as a dog. I know he's 0-2 in the UFC. But like he's looked decent. Now he's getting a debuting guy who's fairly heavy on the boxing.
And bad.
I feel like he can mix it up. I feel like he can cash as a dog. I don't have a bet, but I think it's dog or pass for me.
Dog or pass is absolutely correct. Steven Wynn was a just another guy. The bottom tier of prospects on Contender Series in my rankings as dudes who got contracts who I probably wouldn't have given a contract to, honestly, like if I were in charge. And my only hesitation with betting Jarno Ahrens as a dog is he's also not great. And so just pass. Sure. Just going to pass, you know?
I respect it. Next up, Montserrat Rendon taking on Darya Z. Right now, Montserrat Rendon is your underdog, plus 180. Darya Z, minus 218. The floor is yours, my man. This is women's bantamweight. This is your division. I'll let you take it from here.
This is my division, and I've done a very simple thing, Connor. It's the same thing I've been doing. 50% hit rate last week.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Macy's Jason blew the parlay up, which was tough. But, you know, like I said, it was a 78% clip in 2023. It wasn't 100. So it's still high, but you're going to take those every once in a while. But women's bantamweight fights, more often than not, they're going to the cards. I have taken the over 2.5 in this. I thought about putting it as an open parlay leg like I did last week. I was like, yeah, whatever, screw it. I'll just take it straight up. It's not a great price. I'll just take my $20 and it'll be fine. So taking it. I also briefly considered a bet on Montserrat. And then I was like, why the hell would I do that? It's just that Zeleznikova is like fine, but women's bantamweight is so bad. And debuting fighter who's pretty mid against another fighter who's fine. This probably just should be lined closer was my thought. but I don't really want to have a dog bet on Montserrat Rendon, you know, so I passed on that particular opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. Next up, Igor Severino taking on Andre Lima. A couple of undefeated prospects. And right now, Lima is your favorite at minus 180. De Silva coming back plus 150. Again, I'm going to just let you take the wheel on this one. Coming off contender series, both these guys. That's your thing, man. I'll let you go.
I love that this is now my thing. It's great. Igor Da Silva, which is what I knew him as, not Severino, is like a young dude who needs to develop, right? Like he is a solid fighter, particularly 40 years, but let me see how old he is right now. Yeah, 20. Connor, he's 20 years old.
That's young.
That's, I mean, we make a big deal about 19-year-old dude. Why can't I think of freaking his name right now?
Raul Rosas.
Yeah, Raul Rosas Jr. This is 20-year-old Igor. That being said, Andre Lima is a dude who was like Peyton Talbot and Gene Silva and all these other people in the highest tier of prospects. He's a guy who I just think has a ton of potential. Is also, you know, young. He's 25, but I like that potential. I think Igor Da Silva needs some more seasoning and could maybe get there. But again, he's 20. I'm on Andre Lima, of course. I thought about just parlaying him and Talbot up, but I decided, screw it. I'll just play the two of them as singles because they're under minus 200 favorites.
All right. We move to the last fight on this card. The first one that will kick it off at 7 p.m. Eastern. Muhammad Usman taking on Mick Parkin. And right now, Mick Parkin is your favorite. Minus 142. Usman coming back at plus 120. Yeah, the pick's Parkin. Big Mick. Yeah, we're Team Tommy Aspen all over here. No bet, but I think the old Mickey P train rolls on.
I don't know how anyone could fault you for that, having watched Mo Usman fight. It's certainly not enjoyable.
Shout out to him. Shout out.
I'm out here for the sake of it, just trying to keep heavyweight overs alive with grit and temerity.
I mean, this is a good one for it.
And these two dudes in the UFC have been very inclined to find that over number. So I've gone with it. I don't feel great about it. Certainly, it's probably better for me if Mo Usman is winning. Seems more likely if he's going to win, it will be longer. But, you know, Mick can do it as well. I'm mostly hoping we get 15 full minutes of joy. That's what I'm hoping for, Connor.
I think that's what we're going to get.
Woo!
I think that's what we're going to get.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, and that's that. UFC Apex 89 in the books. Let's quickly go over some Bellator stuff here. And I just wanted to throw this one out right off the rip. You talk about gimmick parlays. Could I interest you in the Nate Kelly, Nathan Kelly parlay?
I mean,
gonna have to lay it down a little bit. Minus 266 for them parlayed together. But it just feels like it's something you have to do.
Buddy, Of course, you can interest me in the Nathan Kelly parlay. Who did we, the Chris Duncan parlay? That was one of my most successful gimmick parlays of all time when they debuted together. Of course, Nathan Kelly.
If y'all are fighting with the same name on the same card and you're not fighting each other, I'm going to have to parlay you up.
Yeah.
Don't care how much chalk I'm paying.
Exactly. Just absolutely no reason I wouldn't parlay these two gentlemen together. So for sure, you can interest me in that. I also have a couple of other bets. I don't know if you have anything else on Belly.
I have a couple ones I want to throw out to you, but let's hear what you have first.
Okay. My bets are very simple. As far as Bellator goes, I have nothing on the main event. I do think Corey Anderson probably wins, but I'm good not betting on 40-year-old Corey Anderson or however old he is at this point in time. I decided to take a shot on Jeremy Kennedy in the co-main against Patricio Pitbull, though. Look, Kennedy is quietly maybe Canada's best fighter. People talking about who's the next Canadian guy coming through. Is it Mike Malott? Is it Jasmine? No. The answer is it's JBC Jeremy Kennedy. He's been doing solid work in Bellator, and this is his opportunity. Obviously a huge, big one here, big step up. Maybe not a huge step up, but Pitbull's just getting a little older. I know we all know the stat about champions when they're 36. It's not quite the same Bellator versus UFC exactly, but there's a drop off. I don't think Pitbull has his fastball at all. Two straight losses, right? Coming into this, maybe this might be a sucker bet because the price on Kennedy is not great. It's only plus 100, but I decided to take a shot here.
I got him at plus 120. I am on him as well. That is the dogs barking. Hopefully we can pull it off. That is one that I was going to ask you. I have it right here in my notes. Jeremy Kennedy is a dog. And actually on Bet Online right now, he has moved to the favorite minus 117, minus 103, a little bit of line movement there. Another one I wanted to just throw out to you, I don't know, Aaron Jeffrey, another Canadian fighting. He was a bigger underdog. He has now moved to minus 110, minus 120 each way. Any thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that I'm back in Fabian Edwards in this one.
Okay.
I just got it at Pick'em Odds. I really liked how Fabian Edwards looked against maybe not our boy, but Johnny Eblen, who I think most people are very high on. Yes, when Eblen went basically Super Saiyan and finished the fight in the third grade, but prior to that, Fabian Edwards was looking really good coming off the Musasi win, like the best run of his career, his best run of form. And I'm just not entirely sure that I'm sold on Aaron Jeffrey. Could absolutely be wrong, right? Like, would not shock me to be wrong, but I'm sticking with the Edwards brothers in general and with Fabian this weekend.
All right. One more that I wanted to throw out to you. You mentioned gentlemen earlier. What about the gent, Luke Trainer, coming into this one as a fairly sized underdog, plus 140 on DraftKings Sportsbook right now. He's going to be just, speaking of brothers, just a bit bigger than Grant Neal. He is going to have a 7-inch height advantage and a 7-inch reach advantage as Grant Neal makes his return to light heavyweight.
That's a lot. That is.
That's way bigger. That's way bigger. As someone that's 6'1", and my dad is 6'6", which is the height of Luke Trainer, stand next to my dad, I'm like, this guy's pretty big. This guy is pretty big, and it's going to be even a bigger discrepancy for one Grant Neal.
Yeah, wow. I hadn't thought about it, honestly, but I don't hate it. You might be convincing me because also it's just like Grant Neal is Grant Neal, you know? Like if you've been watching, Grant Neal's one of those dudes who's just been putting in work in Bellator to zero acclaim.
Or you could tag him on
decision wins in Bellator.
You could tag him on to Fabian Edwards and make the welterweight brothers of UFC welterweights parlay.
I don't think I'll parlay them, but I'll consider the Trainor parlay. It's under consideration. I did just add
Luke
Trainor
would just be a single.
So
yeah, Luke Trainor would just be a single. Plus 140, +150. I mean, massive size difference there. And his one loss is to Simon Byung, and like he's the same size as him.
That's a good pull. Cause I'll be honest, I didn't look super deep down the card. I don't hate this though. Do not hate this.
I mean, that's a big size difference. And I think that's it. That's all I have for a Bellator. Do you have anything else, my friend?
No, we've done. I've added the Nate Kelly parlay, which is.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's just exceptional work by you.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good stuff for me on the gimmick parlays.
Plus
this week.
We know that your parlay ability is strong. I mean, you're.
Yeah. We reviewed that in the show earlier, and what could go wrong with Bellator with a -450 and a -800?
Nothing bad could ever happen with that.
What could go wrong parlaying up a 2-2 fighter?
Bellator parlays are notorious for their success.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'll go with the Nate Kelly parlay, Jeremy Kennedy as a dog, and I think I'm going to add Luke Trainor as a dog as well.
I keep thinking it over. I have more action than I probably wanted to end up with this weekend.
Yeah.
Two fight cards, so it's a little bit, but I'm also not sure how much action I'm going to have next weekend looking ahead to that card. That's a pretty bad fight night.
I will be in attendance for that one, so I'm going to have some bets. I've got some bets down. And for the sake of the gimmick, man, I might have to go against my girl Manon.
I mean,
for the sake of the gimmick, that being the pride of New Jersey, I will be in New Jersey. I'm a New Jersey man.
Yeah,
I might have to do it. We got Vicente Luque and Aaron.
I mean,
Blanchfield,
you were just in a pretzel.
Main and come in
right there.
It's not good.
Because I gotta tell you, I've just considered betting all my money on Blanchfield instead of putting any other bets down, just taking all the money I'd bet elsewhere and just one big Blanchfield bet. So,
does this concern you at all that Blanchfield is, what is she right now? Minus like 135 or something? Minus 140 for Aaron Blanchfield. Everyone who's anyone has told me that Blanchfield is just going to fucking steamroll Fiero.
It is one of those lines where I'm like, I'm missing something here.
Been sitting there for about a week and a half now, too.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just opened up and we're just getting a glance at it. This puppy's been sitting there. It's available at pretty much every sports book.
It is absolutely a line that makes me think they know something. They are aware of something that I am not aware of. Because I truly don't, based on like all the things you hear from everybody, the popularity, it just feels like Blanchfield should be a massive favorite. I mean, got Armand Sarukian coming as a healthy favorite over Charles Oliveira.
Healthy,
but
brother,
Aaron
healthy.
Blanchfield is barely hanging on to favoritism over Manon. Maybe the French fans are just keeping that price down. Like maybe that's just, I don't know what it is. It is concerning though, for sure.
All right. We'll get into that next week. That is that Apex 89 Bellator Belfast. See you next week.
Love y'all.
Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.